Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and well, if it isn't the consequences of my own actions, installment number 40,507. Oh, how the times never change. And with me, I have...
The heart says misery, the body says CPR, the brain at 4 a.m. says Reese's Puffs. Eat them up.
And
so, friends, are you in a podcast that doesn't talk about anti-vaxxers or say the N-word many times, or not the Fresh Fit, or not the Fresh Fit podcast? We have the perfect one for you. Besides us, let's just say they'll be in touch. But no, it's a good episode of that podcast. Something that I could do something to.
Yeah,
it should be something that's from people who are actually good people and not just motherfuckers that just say whatever they want. No matter how much they got paid.
We are very much against chodes.
Don't make me repeat the hashtag again. Oh, who am I kidding? Yeah. I always love this hashtag. Daniel Ek is a chode. I mean, have you ever actually seen the guy's face? He just has chode face. He literally has a dickhead.
Apparently, he also tried to buy an English football team. I think he tried to buy Arsenal FC, which... no. Or no, it wasn't Arsenal. It was FC Barcelona, which no, it was one of those teams. I can't remember which.
Ah, goddamn these fucking tech bros. Ah, but anyway, here we are, episode 255. So, how's everyone's week been going?
It's been a bit of more of a normal week. I go 1 week without football, and things just slink back to their normal bit of normalcy. It is what it is. And, well, I would like to be partaking in the annual tradition of spending 15 minutes on the H&R Block website to get my tax information stuff done. I have to wait for the state of North Carolina to get their shit together and finalize all their information, which they haven't done because, actually, I don't think anybody knows why. I think it's because 70% of the state's legislation is filled with complete fucking idiots.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's annoying. I would like to get my $1,000 back, please. Like, sooner rather than later. I like to get all that done, early. Like, I got all my stuff ready. I just have to wait for the freaking state to get ready, which... that's just annoying. But aside from that, oh hey, Super Bowl is this week, and Tom Brady's retired. America wins again.
The one thing in sports that I actually can give a shit about.
Yep, now he's just gonna spend the rest of his days in Tampa getting drunk off of avocado tequila and shilling crypto bullcrap while doing whatever else he plans to do. Yeah, he's Florida man now. He can do whatever he wants.
Yeah, that is how it works around these parts. But anyway, Mark, what about you?
Okay, my week has been quite normal as well, just the usual. And I will say once again, I didn't see a movie, and by movie I mean I went to Disney Plus and saw something. It was guess what.
We don't talk about Bruno.
Yes, it's that one, or I love to call it Encanto, aka All Y'all Need Therapy.
I still have not seen this movie.
Me either.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. It's vibrant, colorful, musicals kind of hit. They do hit. And once again, generational trauma.
Ain't that always fun?
Yeah. And let's see. Other than that, Not much going on. Yeah, that's all I got.
Okay. And as for me, well, I actually did have all the documentation I needed in time to pay Uncle Sam whatever mysterious number I owe him, or I guess he owes me this year, so I got that to look forward to later on in the month. And I also had to, take care of some school stuff, talk with the professor about actual final, semester project thing. A little bit nervous about it, but I'm sure I'll figure something out. But, aside from that, just the normal weekly business and all that. And speaking of weekly business, we will of course start here with our usual weekly business. At the top, we have the new song discussion for the past week. As always, there will be a playlist down in the description, so you can follow along with us and pick up some new tunes for your playlist, mark off some new albums that you might be looking forward to, all that fun business. So, starting at the top, this past week was, of course, the latest iteration of Bandcamp Fridays, aka a force for absolute good in the world and a perfect argument for giving the middle finger to Spotify. So, of course, amongst the various offerings, we had a brand new song, well, new-ish, courtesy of Lingua Ignota. I say new-ish because it's technically a rendition of a previously existing song, this being her interpretation of an American folk song called Katie Cruel, a song that has its origins in the Revolutionary War, but might also go back even farther than that to potential Scottish origin. Long story there. But, as you could expect, it falls very much in line with the musical nature of Sinner Get Ready, the song built around these low, humming, ominous piano keys that are very minimal but intensely moody as hell, with the occasional swelling of sort of unnerving, ear-grating sound in, like, a few spots, as you would expect. And Kristen Hayter's vocals are every bit as haunting and moody as they always are, fitting with the very regretful, mournful tone of the song's original lyrics and everything. It's a good song. I dig it.
Yeah, it's definitely something I've heard that kind of spectrum from. From her, since it's here now. Like, yeah, it's got what I have previously said about her songs. Like, it has that eerie, ominous tone. We listen to it like it's driving on the way to work at night. Well, I say at night, well, it's more like at, well, almost morning. Well, dark morning, but yeah, you get that. Yeah, it definitely sets a mood.
All right. Now let's move on to the second track here. Apparently, we got a new album coming out from Flume sometime in the near future, specifically May 20th, called Palaces. And we have a new song here called Say Nothing. Care to say something about the song, Mark?
Yes. It's like somebody named Maya. I don't know how to pronounce it. It's just MAMAY-A. And she has a mullet, apparently.
Huh.
Okay. And this track is, I'll say it's alright. I'm not gonna say it's one of Flume's best songs. Last time I heard of a Flume song, it was used for Apple. And this, well, it ain't no Apple. It just sounds like, it sounds like some very electronic song with vocalists, although not as grating. It's passable. The vocals for Maya is decent. I don't mind it. It's like in the production, I think it's fine. It's fine. I just not going back to it as much. And that's for this album. Given that I got the flu mainly through his 2016 album Skin. And I like that one. And looking at the features he got from here, which a lot of names that I recognize or don't recognize. The only two I recognize is either Damon Albert and Caroline Polachek.
Huh.
It may be this other one, Kook. I can't say fucking name, but either way, yeah, this is different. This is very different from what I heard about 6 years ago, man. And that was 6 years ago. Holy shit.
Well, damn. All right, and moving on to the next track here. So it looks like we got a new, Lucy here from jazz musician extraordinaire Kamasi Washington. This one is called The Garden Path, and, well, I mean, you like jazz? I mean, I try to listen to it sometimes, but I couldn't give you, like, some kind of dense, Adam Neely-esque breakdown of this song in meticulous theory detail or anything. But what I can say is that I really do dig the energy here. The song's got a nice, like, steady driving tempo to it with a hefty amount of, you know, very dense drumming with a lot of, like, you know, snare rolls and ghost notes and other kind of fills to lend to the energy. With a nice mix of melodic piano runs and more sort of jazz fusion-y psychedelic keyboard elements in spots, with plenty of trumpet and saxophone solos in there as just, you know, the usual jazz flex. It's fine stuff. It's good soup.
It is definitely a jazz flex. And why am I doing jazz hands when it's an audio podcast? What am I doing?
Am I going to have to sneak jazz hands in the thumbnail just for the sake of the visual?
Maybe. I don't know.
Leave me alone with Photoshop for too long.
But yeah, it's a good song. Like, really fucking excellent.
All right, moving on to the next track here. Going from the realm of jazz to legacy German thrash, German thrash band Creator have announced that their newest album is coming out this summer, June 3rd. It's called Hate Über Alles. I probably pronounced that horribly. And it follows up their 2017 album Gods of Violence, which was a pretty good album, I'll admit, and thus marks the longest gap yet between studio material and their entire run. So, of course, we have the title track here as the first officially released single, and yep, that is definitely some legacy German thrash metal right there. Certainly not lacking any energy as the verses all hit with these rapid-fire D-beat drums and those very fast-paced thrash syncopated riffs, and of course, the chorus has this really nice big-sounding groove with a lot of, you know, that shouting sing-along, you know, of the title in the chorus, which I imagine will probably be a fun thing to, you know, call a response to at live shows. Should they ever get to play live shows again, who the fuck knows what's going on with that industry anymore. And of course, there's the expected, you know, shreddy solo in there with some overall pretty solid production that helps the song, you know, have a nice oomph and energy to it. I dig this.
You know, I must be in a major prog snob mood right now because this is not doing much for me. I mean, it's definitely thrash metal with blistering double bass runs, Lombardo grooves, power chords, melodic licks, growling vocals. It's a thrash metal track. That's all I can really say about it. Like, this isn't keeping my focus. I mean, right now in the back I have Olympus coverage on, and I know we're in the agreement. Fuck the IOC, fuck Pooh Bear. Nobody wants this to happen. Nathan Chen is that dude on the rink. My God.
Wait, where were you going with this?
I really don't know. I lost interest in this song about halfway through.
Oh. But, in the meantime, since you did mention the good old prog snobbery, Alex, care to tell us what's going on in what I'm unofficially referring to as the periphery cinematic universe?
Yes, well, I can tell you that Mark Holcomb and Misha Mansoor have revived their Haunted Shores project. And they have a new album coming out on March 11th, Void. They've released, I think, one or two tracks so far. That's proven to be very, very heavy prog. It's all instrumental, so it's very menacing and gripping and bitey. And this is another one of those, with their latest prelude track before the album drops, Nocturnal Hours. The best way I can describe this song is it's very early Opeth-esque, with a lot of heavy, dissonant guitar riffage, with the added touch of the almighty saxophone from one Jorgen Munkibbe. I hope I said that right. Who has actually done work on a Haunted Shores track before. Yeah, it's just, it's a nice blend of, you know, super heavy dissonant prog metal with very jazzy saxophonism, which, yes, I made that word up. Gives it an extra layer of goodness to it. And I like what I've heard of the few songs we've gotten so far. We'll be in for a strong album come March.
Yep, as we all know, once again, saxophone makes everything better, especially metal. And yeah, that was the comparison point I was looking for, Opeth. Combining those older Opethisms with, you know, the more expected contemporary, you know, periphery style of guitar riffing and melodic interplay. There's definitely no mistaking that this is absolutely the stylings of Mark and Misha to a T. And yeah, saxophones. Always saxophones. Anyway, moving on to the next track here. Oh hey, would you look at the time? It's the Alchemist O'Clock!
What a twist!
Nunny!
Yeah, it's another Alchemist outing. As you can see, you see a new collaboration coming up with his with old pal Currency. Yeah, turns out they're probably coming out in about 2 weeks. Although apparently they'll drop out in December of, oh, okay, good thing that didn't happen. That would have been too much. Okay. Anyway, two times before, Currency and Alchemist, did stuff before. And of course, the mixtape, which I had no idea what it's called. I think it's called Continuation. I mean, it was, okay, anyway. The track is called Half Moon Mornings. And I'll say this, for the track. That production is smooth as fuck. Like, I don't know what sample or something was. It was like, whatever something he got, he used that shit well. Like, I can hear it right now, where he goes, the old hook guitar, I'm like, I can hear that shit, like, this sounds good. This sounds, smooth as fuck. And of course, we got Currency, like, even though, like, I mean, yes, I have been getting the Currency here and there, mainly the mostly Alchemist stuff, like, I mean, being a rapper, he got some global lyrics, like, she was in a tennis skirt, Dirty Dancing, and her Stan Smith. Okay. She knew was the man here. This is her chance here. Wasn't about to stay in here. Didn't disappear. We'll call him Little Planet. Like, during the song, it's short. It's like 2 minutes, a little bit. It's like 2 minutes or less. But yeah, this is a short and sweet project of a song that I probably would, you know, check out just see how it is.
But, yep.
Yeah.
Smooth like some fine, fine liquor. Anyway, moving on to the next track here. Oh, hey, now it's Griselda O'Clock.
Oh, yes, I can talk about this one. So, last week we talked about that, the British single, J. Cole, and it turns out they actually charted this week. Number 70. Huh. 72. I don't know. I don't know. It's like, somebody from Griselda actually made a chart. I mean, I'm glad it did. I put the last song because it's Billboard. It's Billboard. Sometimes good songs don't always stay that long. But yeah, I'm glad it happened. It turns out, one other thing before getting this track. I thought Tenor Talk 4 would be released. It would be released on the 11th. March the 11th.
Huh.
Apparently. Because I thought it was this month. Apparently, Benny fucked up or something. I don't know what's going on. But anyway, this month, however, we finally got the date, the shady debut of Kind of Machines, God Don't Make Mistakes, the album you've been talking about since 2018? I forgot. 2017. Damn,
wait, how long has he been signed to Shady Records for?
I think since 2016. Anyway, like, I know they did the Griselda compilation, and then I guess not with this one. Okay. The joint I hear today is called John Woo Flick. Anybody remember that name? John Woo. John Woo. Anybody remember that name?
Yeah, I remember that name. As soon as you said it, a whole flock of burrows just flew in out of the window.
I'm still waiting for those Blu-rays of The Killer and Hard Boiled to actually get made, somebody.
Oh yeah, that's right. Like, one of them hard boiled was that, one game. Getting off track. Anyway, here's this track. But this way, the old boys, Derringer in, what is it, Kiel. Wait, that's my fucking name, Kiel? No joke on Genius, it says produced by Kiel in Derringer.
Huh.
Okay, that's kind of weird. Anyway, it's a good track. You got some good bars from Conway, which we don't hear what he said. Look to the rap niggas, you take it over, had a change of flow up. Not super mad. There's one line that caught me like. I'm tired of hearing old niggas talking back in the day. Forgot it. I ride for two things. That's a Mac and a K. And then this line here say, I'm from the east side of niggas be over here wilding, catching bodies throwing bullets like Aaron Rodgers. Okay. Okay. And then we got Benny, who's okay. I think Benny has the best verse on here, mainly because maybe I like how he rapped this verse in here. I was here because, I don't know, maybe because, like, the more organic, the more, like, Benny is starting to grow to me a lot more. And then we got Westside, and then Westside gonna do his thing, and, okay, again, he got some charisma. I don't know what the fuck he's talking about some of the time, but I sort of dug it. We got another, you know, Stanley Griselda track, and I'd be fucking with this. Hopefully when I get to the album, hopefully it'll be worth the wait. Considering it's been this long since it's been Teen of a Shady, I don't know. Considering, well, like I said, West Side Gun did left Shady, and I'm pretty sure, I don't know, Coney might do the same. I don't know. I don't blame him for leaving Shady. Have you noticed Eminem ain't exactly good with keeping up with imagined artists that he signed?
I mean, shit, he can barely manage a food stand that spells spaghetti. Wait, did I say spell spaghetti? I meant sell, son of a bitch. It's been a long day. But, yeah, we'll see what happens when that album drops. Moving on to the next track here. God, remember when everyone last gave a shit about Red Hot Chili Peppers? I think it was in fucking high school.
Yeah, it's been a while since those days.
Oh, you know, days where they would perform naked, socks on they, yeah.
I think they slightly moved out of that by that point, at least. But yeah, so if you haven't heard, because who gives a shit anymore? In recent news with this band, they ditched Josh Klinghoffer and got back John Frusciante, and apparently now we have a new album with John to commemorate the occasion. Or who knows, maybe they were working on for a while. I don't know. All I know is this is the first time they've had him on an album since, I think, yeah, fucking Stadium Arcadium. God, that was even older. I was in fucking middle school when that album came out. Holy shit. Hey, remember when they licensed Danny California for the live-action Death Note movies? That was fucking weird, right?
Huh. Yeah.
Snow AO, too, but anyway. So, the new album is called Unlimited Love, and it comes out April 1st. There's, I think, a decent amount coming out April 1st. Lord knows how many of that is April Fool's pranks, but anyway, we have the lead single here, Black Summer, and it's a song that exists, I guess. I mean, it's just very, very low-key for the most part. Some light melodic chord progressions on the part of John Wall. Anthony is just very low-key in his vocal performance, just sounding like old man Anthony Kiedis, all right. Or Kiedis, I've never really paid attention to how you pronounce the dude's name. There's not really much energy, save for the chorus, but even then, it's a lot brighter than you would expect. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Does anyone really care? Like, I'm only covering this because I feel like I kind of have to out of obligation, but, like, this just feels like it's taking up space, you know?
Yeah. Well, I will say this is a telling point for people, this song, that is, to easily differentiate Frusciante and Klinghoffer based on the structure. This is very simple and maybe even at worst derivative of some of their early mid-2000s material. But it's the first time in a while I've heard something new from these guys that can say, okay, yeah, this is definitely Chili Peppers. It's familiar, but might be a little too familiar. So, I mean, fair play to them for that, but I don't know what else to expect from these guys after however many years they've been together so far.
Yeah, since, like, what, late 80s, I think?
Maybe even earlier.
Damn. Anyway, moving on to the last track here. So, what's going on in the realm of YG? I believe that's who it is. I always get YG confused with someone else whose rap initials are also YG.
Yeah, that's the Fuck Don't Suck guy.
Ah.
You know that song?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Which, of course, a classic. Because of reasons, yeah. So, yeah, so anyway, he got this new album coming out, which we don't know when. It's called Pray For Me. Pray For Me, and again, we don't know when. He got a new track in there, which entitled Scared Money. Wait. I swear I heard that. I've heard a track like that before.
Scared
Money? I heard a track with the same name before. That's one, a No Worries song.
Huh.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, isn't No Worries working on new material?
Yes, I mean, yes, and I can't wait for that shit, because I'm eagerly waiting for that shit. Man, it's gonna be good to hear that. And you wanna know about this track, because I kinda don't care about this track. And by the way, could you guess Moneybagg Yo? And oh, look, it's J. Cole again.
Huh. Second feature in as many weeks.
Yeah. Basically, on Scared Money is basically them bragging about, you know, their, you know, wealth and whatever shit and shit they got. It's basically what people would bitch about rap songs, like about the flossing and going. It's like, okay, I mean, I kind of don't care. It's more like the beat is like, I guess, the usual YG stuff. Although it's not produced by DJ Mustard. It's about somebody named Gibbo. Yeah, Gibbo. Sounds like a fucking Nickelodeon. Sounds like a Nick Jr. character.
Yeah,
and like I said, these lyrics, like, you got stuff like brand new coupe, I floor it, brand new bitch, got a whore it. Okay, brand new Glock, I adore it, have a nigga run like Forrest. Watch it, Vicky Kanye West, he got his own kicks. Hope you don't get his manga stolen, apparently.
Huh.
And of course, got J. Cole. Do his verse, like, I'm so less supposed to the guy post my clips one layer and shooting like a Luka Doncic basketball stuff. I don't know basketball shit. I don't know this shit, but yeah.
Oh yeah, Luka Doncic. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't. No. And of course, Moneybagg Yo, another Memphis nigga. I he said some shit here like Boston call niggas like Zion, but he bust out the shoe. Scam money don't make no money. I guess that's a quote from a Florida Gators coach, Billy Napier. Anyway, this track, I don't really care for it. I don't know why I picked this, because it's some of the J. Cole feature verse, because he started doing back this shit. And as for YG, I think I fell off from him ever since. Still breezy and I probably won't hold my breath to check this album out, to be honest.
Yeah. All I could really think of to say about the song is, why does the piano sound like the Leftovers from Humble? God, when are we getting that new Kendrick album? But anyway,
hopefully he might announce it during the Super Bowl.
You know, he would, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Or hell, maybe even shadow drop it, like, in the middle of the performance. That feels like a very Kendrick thing to do. But anyway, yeah, that pretty much does it for the new song discussion. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we have a bit of news to discuss here, so stay tuned. And we're back. So, unfortunately, we do have to spend a bit of time this week, but pretty much the entirety of the news segment dwelling on the most annoying, stupid three-letter acronym that's now a part of everyone's online lexicon, NFTs. Because, of course, it has to apply to literally every goddamn stupid thing imaginable, from video games to professionally produced television shows and unprofessionally produced television shows. Hey, remember when 2 Chainz was working on a fucking animated series with those stupid apes?
No, I don't.
What?
Yeah. Okay, I only remember this because I saw that Dan Olsen, you know, video essay about fucking cryptocurrency and NFTs, which if you have 2 hours and 20 minutes to kill, you should. It is very comprehensive at just how stupid and asinine this all is. And yes, 2 Chainz did try backing an animated series called Red Ape Family.
This is where my nightmare. Wait. He was involved with that crap?
Apparently.
Oh, what the hell?
Okay. Sidebar, tangentially related. If any of you were horrified at that friggin' Tonight Show interview with Paris Hilton and Jimmy Fallon from a little while ago, evidently, I can't confirm this. Evidently, a big publicity union, I think CAA, they're involved with a lot of this stuff. They're trying to shill it super, super hard with celebrity involvements because these people have not learned of the stupidity of Invigoron. This is when I point to that scene of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia with Brink sucking the coil, talking to Charlie and Dee, and he goes, "It's a pyramid scheme." It's not a pyramid scheme. It's a reverse funnel system. Flip it upside down. God damn it! Shit!
Gotta love Always Sunny. But yeah. Anyway, veering back on course to musical NFT stupidity in a double dose. So, this round comes courtesy of M Shadows from Avenged Sevenfold.
Oh, God. It's bad enough you were talking with Devin Townsend about this stuff, Matt. Now you're doing this crap.
Is that what the M stands for?
Yes. That his first name is Matt.
Huh. Anyway, so this has to do with the late Pantera drummer Vinnie Paul, whose house recently went up for sale to the tune of about $750,000. Must be a pretty nice place, I imagine. And
that's actually kind of on the lower end of houses for sale, considering the housing market is still very much on fire.
Huh. Well, what do I know? I'm just a dumb millennial. Do I look like I can afford a house? I can barely afford Taco Bell sometimes. But anyway, so we're bringing up, you know, Vinnie Paul's house sale because Shadows went on some fucking weird-ass Twitter rant related to buying the house. And, okay, I'm gonna run down the transcription of his tweet thread. We're reading a transcription from Metal Sucks here because I don't know how to sum it up other than to just let his own stupid words do the talking. Quote, "Vinnie Paul's house is for sale. The place was legendary by all standards, and it will be a shame to see it bought by a developer or a non-fan. So what does that mean? What happens now? What if we start a decentralized autonomous organization? A DAO. A thread. So, Zachy Ventions called me today and showed me the news of this legendary property being put on the market. This is the place where any musician that came through DAOs would come after a long night at Vinny's famous strip club or after the shows. Musicians, actors, you name it. It was like the Graceland of heavy metal. Wait, Graceland was Elvis's place, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So you're telling me at some point in this house's career, someone died shitting themselves on the toilet?
I knew you were going to do that, and I still wasn't ready for it. God damn it.
Sometimes the best jokes are the most obvious. Anyway, have been many times. So Zachy suggested a DAO purchase it. DAO stands for Decentralized Autonomous Organization. What that means is that fans of Vinnie Paul's legacy would be able to purchase a token that represents a portion of this home. The token, NFT, it's that word, sale, would raise the money to purchase the house. After that, token holders would have governance and a vote over how and what actions will be taken by the committee. Do you fix up the roof? Do you use it as a rental to other fans like an Airbnb? Do you turn it into more of a museum of Pantera artifacts that token holders and fans get to enjoy? That's not up to me or any individual. It's up to the DAO. Own a token, get a vote. Here is how I see it. Option 1. Someone that doesn't give a fuck about Pantera buys it and lives in it, remodels or tears it down. Option 2. A Pantera fan buys it, lives in it, and treats it as their own personal trophy. Option 3. The Pantera community buys it, governs it, and decides what's best for the legacy of this important piece of heavy metal history. Anyway, this may sound crazy to some, and if I'm way off, I'd love to get opinions. I'd love to discuss it and hear another side. So this is just a timeshare, but with extra steps?
Yeah, that's pretty much the entire freaking quote-unquote economy in a nutshell.
Oh my god, so a bunch of people owning digital tokens, conveying some vague sense of ownership of the house, and then any and all decisions are made pseudo-democratically. I don't know, can we really trust the decision-making process of someone who bought an NFT in this vague democracy context over a famous house? What is any of this?
This is
too stupid.
Well, it goes by many names. Ponzi scheme, pyramid scheme, pump and dump scheme. These are schemes. They're scams. They're digital timeshares. Except here, you don't own anything tangible. I have been ranting about this for months. None of this is real. This is all Monopoly money. You don't own anything. All you have is this little digital key thing that says you own a partial stake of insert thing here. But you actually don't have anything. You don't have anything tangible. You don't own anything. Oh my god.
Pretty much. Like, I would say it's like a certificate of authenticity, but even with a certificate of authenticity, that usually comes with something. Like, I have a certificate of authenticity for a while back when Funimation did that weird crowdfunding thing for an anniversary Cowboy Bebop set, but I got the Cowboy Bebop anniversary set. I have the Blu-rays, the art book, the vinyl soundtrack to prove it. I got shit. This would be like getting the certificate of authenticity and then just an IOU beyond that saying, oh, here's what you got, but I don't have shit.
Yeah, the thing is, this is actually worse than a timeshare, because with a timeshare, you can actually go there at least once and actually be in something that's tangible. But much like a timeshare, resale value for all this stuff, it will plummet, because all of this is Monopoly money. There's nothing stable about it.
Yeah, why do you think they keep going to big-name celebrities like Brie Larson to be pumping and promoting these NFTs, because they don't mean shit without marks pumping money into the system.
Yeah, it's all about getting people in on a on an early scheme to quote-unquote get rich, when in reality all you're doing is just wasting thousands, if not tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars on things that are not real.
Okay, so continuing on to the other bit of NFT stupidity, the much bigger piece of NFT stupidity. How could it get any dumber? Well, I want to say it was about, sometime Tuesday, I believe, the first of the month. Certainly a hell of a way to kick off your February. I saw a couple of music acts I follow tweeting some very, very angry shit. In particular, I believe I first noticed Left at London and Sadie Dupois of Speedy Ortiz getting absolutely infuriated at this thing called Hit Piece. Why? Because this was apparently an unauthorized site that was selling their music as, wait for it, NFTs. Of course, I had to rapidly follow this across my Twitter thread from various music acts, music journos, and other onlookers. Some of the other acts I noticed that had their shit put up there, for example, Clipping, Eve 6, and hell, even Eve 6's mortal enemy, Patton Oswalt. I don't entirely understand either, to be honest, but just go with it. And yeah, all just a whole bunch of shit, like an ungodly amount of shit on there. We'll get to that in a moment, but yeah, I just spent like the next few days digging through tweet threads from every onlooker possible. Of course, there was all kinds of stupid, weird shit going on, like the fact that so many songs seemed to have a current bid that was exactly the same suspiciously high amount, specifically $21,474,836.47. This bid being on pretty much exactly the same across several offerings, whether it be, you know, the music of Lil Nas X, a live recording from Panic at the Disco, or even a song off of hardcore band Minor Threat's first demo tape? Someone must really like their Minor Threat. But apparently, these bids didn't even require any financial information on the part of the bidder, so I guess some assholes were just going through the site and spamming bids for no reason. Oh, and speaking of big names, some of the other stuff that was being listed there as NFTs included soundtracks associated with big business conglomerates from the likes of Nintendo and even the Mouse. You know?
Oh boy.
I know there's a lot of ire to be directed at the corporate hellscape of Disney's legal team. The one time that I'd ever be rooting for them. The one time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently went to other big names like Brian Eno, Kanye West, I think also BTS as well, which...
Oh.
Oh, sweet honey child, you don't know what you're getting into with that.
You're going to die!
And if anyone wondering, how is this even a thing? How does this get made? There's a process called minting, which basically allows anybody to quote-unquote mint anything and sell it or put it up for auction. Case in point, about 85% of OpenSea is full of theft. Art theft, individual theft, YouTube channel theft. It's so incredibly stupid. Once again, you don't own anything.
Not
Jesus
a,
fucking criminy.
Not a damn thing at all. And if you're wondering some of the behind the scenes of all this stuff, like how we could even get to this point in the first place, well, there was some digging around, and it was noticed that the co-founders of a Hit Piece included, amongst other people, a guy named Michael Baring, who used to be known under the rapper name MC Search, who apparently also currently does like the occasional music podcast here and there. This venture capitalist named, and let me see his name here, Blake Modrzycki, a venture capitalist who spent an ungodly amount of time investing in a lot of tech startups, and probably the most important, for lack of a better term, name associated here, a guy named Rory Felton. According to his LinkedIn bio, he got started in the industry as a co-founder of something called the Militia Group, a record company slash music publishing company that was mainly dedicated to 2000s punk, indie, and emo music. And they operated like that from 2000 to 2012 until they were acquired by Sony Music. Also worth noting, as far as other industry connections, he also has listed under his bio SVP Marketing, specifically naming the organization Danny Wimmer Presents, which, as we all know, they do a ton of festival work and everything. Apparently, he's also the owner for a global distribution slash artist services company called Feltone, which also specializes in NFTs. And then Hit Piece was apparently founded 2 years ago. Now, there was some information dug up about the guy, especially in regards to an interview he did on a music, well, not a music podcast, but a business podcast interview with Business Builders. It's mentioned that he has some pretty direct musical connections to, oh, hey, surprise, surprise, it's Spotify. And this includes being able to, well, if you're wondering how he got all the music on Hit Piece in the first place, yeah, apparently the infrastructure is built on Spotify's API, which lets them grab the metadata of pretty much every song on the platform that you could think of and sells them as, quote, one of one NFTs, describing them like fucking trading cards.
Oh, boy. These are not like some Digimon Yu-Gi-Oh! Shit.
These are very, very, very dumb people we're dealing with here.
Indeed. And again, yeah, at least with actual trading cards, you get something tangible.
Yeah.
And you get infinitely better artwork. You ever actually look at Yu-Gi-Oh! Monster designs? That shit is dope as hell.
Yeah. And I mentioned this during the shitstorm that happened online. At least Napster didn't charge people tens of thousands of dollars to download an MP3.
No, they did not.
No, they did not.
No.
And, okay, you mentioned MC Search. Anything else from Third Base? And if I can recall, I remember mentioning, heard that name once. Didn't Hannah put a hair out on him once?
Wait, what?
I don't know. Maybe I remember something from a train records. Hammer put a hair on MC Search or somebody from Third Base because, I don't know, Hammer was in his films, which, yeah, that's what this. I think that's how I remember MC Search, because, yeah.
I might have to stick up. Okay, so apparently, just a quick Google search, it seems like MC Search, or at least Third Base, did have a beef with MC Hammer. So, yeah, that's a thing. I'd have to look into it in more detail, but, you know. So, yeah, seeing all this bullshit go down, of course, eventually the site just went completely down and basically into quote-unquote beta mode, and their Twitter, well, we all know how this goes. When you're in too deep on something this stupid and illegal, just post your way through it. That always works. Stop posting.
And they did it in the most expected way possible. Notes app.
Oh my god.
Who those motherfuckers that did that fake anime, the Kickstarter, but then,
oh yeah, god, anime
George Game Face.
Oh yeah. Yeah, almost like that.
Yeah, and just as the cherry on top, their statement was the most chef's kiss, passive aggressive bullcrap you've ever heard. I'm gonna give it the treatment it deserves. Clearly, we have struck a nerve and are very eager to create the ideal experience for music fans. To be clear, artists get paid when digital goods are sold on Hitpiece. Like all beta products, we are continuing to listen to all user feedback and are committed to evolving the product to fit the needs of the artists, labels, and fans alike. Which is exactly why their website is just a splash page built on WordPress or something. It just says, "We started the conversation and we're listening." You know who else is listening, by the way? The RIAA.
Oh, yeah. That's one of the best parts. So, yeah, when you mess with the Literal Recording Industry Association of America for minting NFTs associated with literally everyone, apparently even much bigger artists like Metallica and John Lennon.
Okay. Two notes. Number one, Lars Ulrich, get on them, give them the Napster treatment. And two, to John Lennon's kids, can you all just stop? Can you all just stop? Just go
it's
away.
It's time to stop.
Go away. Do drugs like your father did. Just go away.
So, from the chairman of the RIAA and CEO Mitch Glazier, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, explained the decision to, you know, bring the full might of their force on them, quote, "As music lovers and artists embrace new technologies like NFTs, there's always someone looking to exploit their excitement and energy. Given how fans are misled and defrauded by these unauthorized NFTs and the massive risk to both fans and artists posed by Hitpiece and potential copycats, it was clear we had to move immediately and urgently to stand up for fairness and honesty in the market." Then their legal officer, Ken Doroshow, adds, "Hitpiece appears to be little more than a scam operation designed to trade on fans' love of music and desire to connect more closely with artists using buzzwords and jargon to gloss over their complete failure to obtain necessary rights. Fans were led to believe they were purchasing an NFT genuinely associated with an artist, and their work when that was not at all the case. While the operators appear to have taken the main Hitpiece site offline for now, this move was necessary to ensure a fair accounting for the harm Hitpiece and its operators have already done, and to ensure that this site or copycats don't simply resume their scams under another name." And further explained by the Senior Vice President of Litigation, Jared Friedman, "Your client's operations have been vastly described in recent days as a scam, a complete sham, immoral, unethical, and a fraud. All of these criticisms are, of course, accurate. Although it appears your clients now contend that they did not actually include any sound recordings with their NFTs, which, if true, likely amounts to yet another form of fraud," which, I mean, I'm pretty sure they were just selling the JPEGs of the album art, because that would just be even more stupid. Just stupid enough to make sense. "It is undeniable that to promote and sell their NFTs, your clients use the names and images of the record company's recording artists, along with copyrighted album art and other protected images, the rights to which belong to the record companies and their artists. Your clients' outright theft of these valuable intellectual property rights is as outrageous as it is brazen. So sure, Hitpiece is down right now, which makes this important and a touchstone for future stories, is that Hitpiece doesn't seem intent on going away. Shortly after going down, the site issued, you know, its typical statement, and then of course all the roasting and just all that fun bullshit."
Yeah, during the great ratioing, Wolfgang Van Halen had the best one, where he just screenshotted the statement and said, "You can also mint this interaction, auction it, and then shove it up your ass. You have my full permission. You know we're in deep trouble when Wolfgang Van Halen and Chris Fronczak are on the same page."
Oh, dear Lord, what fresh hell have we opened?
And just to anyone out there who thinks that this is somewhat of a good idea, that buying a minted album art picture with a song to it at the cost of six or seven figures or even more is a good idea instead of just buying a CD or buying, I don't know, an Apple Music subscription. If you're the kind of person to do that, I have one thing and one thing only to say to you.
You are a fucking moron!
Meant that, why don't you?
God fucking damn. Just the horrific stupidity of everything involved in here. I'd also like to point out the apology tweet, air quotes from Hitpiece. Yeah, 4,218 replies and about 3,535 retweets and only 341 likes. This is, in fact, what the kids call ratioing.
Ratioed?
Yeah. Actually, only 68 retweets. The other 3,400 are quote tweets. So, let's just say the total replies is about 8,000.
Ratioed to hell and possibly not back. Because you don't deserve to be anywhere else but possibly music hell. So, God, just the fucking worst. And just more of an argument as to why Spotify is bullshit. Because if they could just pull this information from their API, that seems kind of fucked. But, you know, we won't have to worry about them again unless they come from the grave. Who knows, maybe George Gameface will partner with these assholes and create anime soundtrack NFTs.
Don't give him any ideas. We haven't heard from him in months. Let's keep it that way.
Plus, I think somebody has stolen some at least some shit from even most anime voice actors that do music on the side.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Hey, Troy Baker. Oh my God! Why did we put up with this guy? Anyway, with that news and bitching out of the way, time for the last real bit of business to take care of here, and that is the new album releases for the week of February 11th, 2022. Starting right at the top, we have the newest album from long-running metal act Voivod with Synchro Anarchy. We have a new one from metal band Amorphis with Halo. A new album from noise artist, author, and Punisher with Kruller. The newest album from Cult of Luna with The Long Road North. A brand new self-titled album from Zeal and Ardor after many months in singles. Slash featuring Miles Kennedy and the Conspirators with Four. There's a new album from Frank Turner called FTHC. We have a new project from Alt-J with The Dream. And last, and maybe to some extent least, a new solo project from Eddie Vedder with Earthling.
I know what Nikki Six isn't listening to this week. Who cares about this drama? Seriously, who?
Well, to be fair, it's more interesting than anything either of them have recorded in ever. But not by much. Anyway, now it is time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
As always, Aura of Azure, where I will be in Super Bowl mode on Sunday because, the Super Bowl is on Sunday. Hard to believe it's already here. Where did all the time go?
Indeed. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Usually on Twitter, at MetaMedia, on my site, MyHabitableWordPress.com. I got some stuff up on today. A review of The Duke of Death is Made, and a first impression of Shinbu, the animation. You know, that new Crunchyroll Adult Swim thing.
Yeah, that is all right. Anyway, as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, etc. at Rob Barracuda. You can email me, robert@surrealresolution.com, for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Google Podcasts. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video usually goes up on the official YouTube channel, so subscribe and hit the bell tab so you're notified whenever new stuff goes up there. Be sure to follow us on Twitter @SurrealReso, like us on Facebook, visit the website surrealresolution.com for written articles, this podcast, podcast O&A, and all of that fine stuff. Be sure to jump into our Discord chat to continue to relentlessly mock NFTs. And, of course, shout out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. Well, that'll about do it for the usual weekly business. We'll, of course, be back later on in the week with the first official album roundup for the year for January 2022. So, look forward to that. And until next time, Buff Mice. That is all.